The following is Chris Firth, Wells National Estuarine Research Reserve, speaking at the Maine Coastal Waters Conference, October 28, 2009.
Concluding everything, and I'm busy taking notes from every single presentation of the ideas for tools that I want to take back to the Wells Reserve. The tool or the project that I'm going to talk about was a combined effort, partnership between the Wells National Estuarine Research Reserve, Southern Maine Regional Planning Commission, the Town of Sanford, and other folks that I'll mention as we go along. And we had been contacted by the Town of Sanford, which you might not think of Sanford as a coastal town, but I'll explain what the connection with Sanford and the coast is in just a minute. They were looking at a way to take part of their comprehensive plan and take and expand it and turn it into a conservation plan. And they came to the Wells Reserve because we'd done other watershed type plans and said, could you help us create a conservation plan for the town of Sanford? And at the same time that they came with that request, and they said, well, and what would we be looking at as far as what kind of payment you'd need to do that? And I said, well, wait just a minute. We've got a funding opportunity from this little group over here called the CICEET, which is the Cooperative Institute for Coastal and Estuarine Environmental Technology. Mm-hmm. And they are based at UNH, and they're a partnership between NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, and UNH. And they were looking at funding projects that would help people improve land use decision making in coastal regions all across the country. So we said to the Town of Sanford, why don't we submit your request and your idea and see if we can try some new technology tools in Sanford that might be exportable to other regions. And we competed nationally, and our project was one of 13 funded in the country. And the tool I'll talk about today is some of the experiments, some of the things we did with the Town of Sanford. Okay? What we were looking for, and this is actually kind of a wrap-up slide, this is the lessons learned from the project. We were looking at a way to use community-based ecosystem management, and you heard this morning, and there was a session in this room earlier about ecosystem-based management. And we were looking at kind of overlapping community-based ecosystem management on traditional thinking about land use planning, and using best management practices to protect at a watershed scale. Then the process we were learning and using, and that's kind of my tool, is the process of collaborative learning. That's the process we chose to use to engage stakeholders. Then we were using geospatial and land use technology to map conservation values that people generate from talking. And then we applied the idea of green infrastructure as a way to capture kind of an economic way of thinking about the services that nature provides. Okay? And one thing that came up this morning in one of our sessions was, how do you define what you mean by things? So the next couple of slides I have is very much the definition of what I mean and what we meant when we said community-based ecosystem management. This definition comes pretty much from terrestrial work, and it's published in a book by Meffey on community-based ecosystem management. And there's three parts to what it means. The first part, if you read that, is what most people might tell you, yeah, that's ecosystem management. The goal of ecosystem management is to retain, restore, and sustain the integrity of an ecosystem and the ability of that system to continue to provide services. So you'll have most everybody on board for that, including all the scientists. When you get to the second part, that the goal of ecosystem-based management is to make the places where we live, work, and play noticeably better today and in the future, you lose some people at that one. Because to some people, ecosystem management is something that happens out there where the people aren't. It's a place where, you know, people are having an impact on it, but our goal is to keep it really pristine. Well, our definition is it's not. It works outside the window, outside town hall, outside the school building. And then the third, and this is where it gets kind of tricky, is it's based upon a collaboratively developed vision of desired future outcomes that integrates ecology, socioeconomics, and by institutional perspectives, I mean, you know, what do business people think? What do academics think? What does the Park Service think? What do different institutions think? And the tool I'm going to talk about is getting at how do you do number three? And you've also heard from all the previous speakers of ways that they get at that collaboratively developed vision. Okay, next slide. So the tool that we use to get at that idea of collaboratively working with the room and generating a vision for where you're going to go is called collaborative learning. And collaborative learning is something you can approach from many different levels. In my graduate work, I approached it in terms of doing an entire dissertation on collaborative learning. But how many people can do that? So the tool I have is only this thick. It's only 20 pages long, and it was developed so that practitioners that have jobs like mine, which is to work as an educator, an outreach professional, can pick up the skills related to collaboratively working with a group, yet it's still based very much on what we know about how collaborative learning works. And we know that it's based on principles of how adults learn, how adults interact and communicate. It's based on systems thinking. It's kind of hard to be a systems thinker, but collaborative learning has built-in skills for building that. And it's also based on what we know about the roots of conflict, what conflict comes from, and how you can work with a group to work through conflict and arrive at shared visions and ideas for how to move forward. And I currently, we use collaborative learning at the Wells Reserve with lots of stakeholder processes. And I've developed a training program, which I've given at the Coastal Zone 09 this summer. I'm giving it again next week. So if any of you are working with groups, or you in your job would be interested in having a workshop about more details, how to use this tool, I also have about 25 of these to hand out today, and it's on our website. But I'll show you more about what it looks like, so you can see if it's something you'd like to try. Is it getting darker, or is it just me? Go ahead, next slide. So what's the connection between Sanford and the coast? Because we had to make this case when we applied for this national funding, which was for coastal watersheds. And what we said was, if you look at Sanford, see the very dark in the center, there's five watersheds. It's kind of a high point in York County. And those five watersheds that start in Sanford, Maine, flow to the coast. They flow to a national wildlife refuge. They flow to two national estuarine research reserves and one national estuary project, which is a program of federal EPA. They also flow to a water district, the KKW Water District, which serves most of the communities in southern Maine. So what happens in Sanford does not stay in Sanford. And the condition of the watershed in Sanford impacts these what are considered not only locally important resources, but nationally significant resources. So we proposed if we could learn some things about using technology for land use decision making in this region, that we could spread the word through these other national programs about how it worked and what didn't work. Okay? So the use of collaborative learning, there's four phases of collaborative learning. And the first phase mirrors the things you've already heard the other speakers talk about. You always want to start with an assessment. What is already going on? Who should be at the table? Who should be involved in working to develop this conservation plan? The overseers of the project, we had a team of people from the town, from Southern Maine Regional Planning, from the Wells Reserve, and lucky for us, we had Judy Colby George's help with from Spatial Alternatives, and we had some funding also from the State Planning Office to help support the project. Who would the stakeholders be? We spent about 6 months doing similar things to what these other folks have done, just talking one-on-one. Who cares about conservation in the town of Sanford? What's already being done? What might the conflicts be? Who should we talk to? Who should we include? And then how should we engage them? What's the best venue? Is it night? Is it day? How many hours will they come? And would they like food? The answer is always yes. People always want food. And then what was already going on? You may not know Sanford has two active land trusts. They have a trails committee. They have a committee that works specifically on tree canopies and forests. So there were lots of activity already going on, but they weren't as coordinated as they could have been. Okay, next slide. And what we basically were trying to do with our stakeholders was engaging this, what I call the kaleidoscope of expertise, We'd been working in southern Maine since about 2002, trying to identify who are the people involved in land use decision making. And these were the eight groups that we tried to be sure they were at the table, and not just people in the town of Sanford, but also people from towns next to Sanford, because conservation crosses town boundaries. Okay? Phase two was stakeholder visioning, and this is very similar to what other folks talked about, where we asked people to imagine Sanford 50 years into the future. What would they still like to see in the town? And this involved using maps that we had generated, also just pure flip chart paper, writing your ideas, and we collected all of those ideas and kind of analyzed the data and looked down to say, well, what were the basic things that the town wanted? And we identified from what people told us five key conservation values. Okay? And these are the conservation values that came from the group. Water quality protection, productive land for agriculture was very important in the town. Wildlife habitat, human health and safety by protecting drinking water sources, and scenic and recreation, which included their trails. And I would bet most of the towns, you could go anywhere in Maine, and that would probably be the top five. See what you think. Okay, next. The next thing we did, we used a GIS to map the things that people said were important, and we used, beginning with habitat data, we used available data layers because the project was not large enough to create new data. So we went, what's out there, what do we have, and we created maps showing people where the things they said were important were located on the landscape. And then we brought those maps back at a second workshop. What are we missing? What did we get wrong? And people marked them all up and changed them around. And then next slide, I'll show you another technology we use, which Judy uses a lot in the state too. These little keypad polling things, it's like being on a reality-based TV show. When we came back after the first visioning meeting, we had a list of what we thought were what people valued. But we wanted to bounce that back and say, are we right? Is this really what you value? So if you all had been the group that night, you'd each have your own little keypad. Next slide. And we had a question like, water quality protection is an important goal for the plan. And then people could click on their keypads. Next slide. And we'd come up like an instant later, we'd know that 73% of the people in the room strongly agreed with that value. This many agreed, so many were neutral, and so many disagreed. And we did that with all of the main ideas for the plan as a way to check back and see if we were catching their idea. Here's one more example of protecting human health and safety through conserving floodplains, water supplies, and wetlands. Click, you'll see the vote on that one. So this was a way for us to check is what we thought we heard, what people had really told us. Next slide. So as far as watershed services, the ecosystem services from the watershed, what we mapped were aquifer recharge, because that's where water's stored, riparian buffers, wetlands, public water, and floodplains. So we took the words that people said that they valued. These are the ecosystem services that match their values. Next slide. And then here's Sanford is very rich in water resources, so almost the whole map is blue. But these were the areas in Sanford that relate to the values, areas of land that produce clean water. Okay? And we did that for the other four values as well. Next slide. So the maps that came from that were one map for each of the values. Next slide. And then we did a little further voting. This was Judy's idea. She's done this with other groups. We printed money, which is always fun. This was Sanford dollars, and we printed money for the town of Sanford, and everybody in the room, every stakeholder, got $100,000. And we put the five categories for the conservation values in little buckets, and they could vote water, they could vote land conservation, productive land. Next slide. And if everybody in the room had thought all five values were equal, we would have had 20% of the votes in every single bin. But here was the actual way it played out. And then we could manipulate the maps, and don't ask me how. Judy could answer that, because as you can probably guess, I am not the GIS guru, I am the process guru. So I had other members on the team who used the GIS. Next slide. And then we create a map where the co-occurrence, the layers of all those values, with the ones that people ranked higher, having more value than the lower ones, and came up with these hot spots in the town. Next slide. And what we decided to use was this concept of green infrastructure. And a lot of what we did, we didn't invent any of it. We brought in science-based approaches. This green infrastructure approach comes from the field of conservation biology, where you attempt to maintain a network of ecological areas that provide services, and you connect them and retain their value. Next slide. So our principles in the final plan that we wrote, what the town told us, they said, we want to grow economically. The bottom line is Sanford, growth is good, but we want to grow in places that are not, that are good places for growth. So we said that economic prosperity is connected to the conservation of the natural systems that support the economy. That we wanted to protect Sanford's quality of place, that's what we heard from the stakeholders, and we recognized that green infrastructure was important to the growth of the town, and that action could be taken to grow and at the same time protect the green infrastructure. Okay, I'll go through really fast to the very end. Okay, next. So, and again, we didn't invent the tools to do this. We went for the best science-based approach to protect green infrastructure. If you've ever been to the Center for Watershed Protection website, they have the tools. They're based on multiple scientific studies. You don't have to figure out what will protect water because they've done the work of synthesizing the water science. So we put the 8 tools of watershed protection in the plan. Beginning with habitat is a very rigorous approach to protecting habitat. We said for your habitat areas, you use the Beginning with Habitat toolkit. And the state of Maine had a very rigorous program for protecting farmland, which was based collaboratively. So we brought these tools that were already developed outside and said, okay, town of Sanford, if you want to protect your green infrastructure, here's 3 things that people have put years of work into. You simply need to apply them in your town. Okay. And go past through this is the 8 tools. And one more. These were the hot spots in the town. So in the hot spots, the town was hoping those would be the places they could conserve outright through purchase or easements. And the other principles of infrastructure protection could be used to protect land as it was developed. Okay, next. 3% of the land in the focus areas is currently protected, but 95% of the land in the focus areas is natural, so the potential is huge. And let's see if I can skip everything else so we have time for questions. Kind of the classic, we had a workshop and the town identified these as the tools they would use to achieve their conservation goals, so it's things they could select from like a menu. Next. And funding, next. These again were the ideas that the town came up with of where funding could come from to fund the conservation. Next. And I think that's it. One more. These were just some of the words of the people. The planning board voted unanimously on July 1st to approve the conservation plan, which is called Headwaters. And a copy of the conservation plan with this green infrastructure approach is on the Wells Reserve website and the Sanford website. And as I said, a copy of this process of running, how you run a collaborative process to end up at a result that matches what the stakeholders told you was important. I have copies of that here.